This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today was Rebecca Scheinfeld, the commissioner of the Chicago Department of Transportation. Rebecca came to us directly from the Fulton Street area, where a new gateway to the Fulton Street market just opened up today. Since 2012, 20,000 new tech jobs have been created in the Fulton area, and transportation is key to what is happening throughout various parts of Chicago. Commissioner Scheinfeld said that a 21st century economy needs a 21st century transportation system. In the last 8 years, one half of the city's streets have been paved. Streetlights have been replaced. Chicago has regained its position as the transportation hub of the United States. Transportation and managing that department, she said, is much more than pothole patching, though that is a number one priority on her list. In terms of modernizing streetlights in the city of Chicago, by 2020, there will be 270,000 brand new LED fixtures. These will be 85% of all the fixtures in the city. Then she focused in on transportation improvements, bus and rail. She talked about loop links. She talked about road diets. She indicated that we can redesign streets, but we are really rethinking how to use the streets, how to move more people safely, quickly, inexpensively, and not move more cars. She also addressed the need for some new transit stations, including one coming up shortly at Damon and Lake Streets, which hopefully will lead to much more private investment in that area. Under study is the Riverwalk from Lake Street down to Pingtown Park in Chinatown. But already on the boards is the 312 River Run project that includes three parks, one trail, 2 miles long, roughly from Addison and Western to Montrose and California Streets. Big news about the Navy Pier flyover. She said the first segment will be completed by this Christmas, and she invites everyone down for the dedication. There are more bike lanes coming and a program called Vision Zero to eliminate death and serious injury in a city where 2,000 people a year are killed or seriously injured. There are 300 pedestrian safety projects that the Department of Transportation is working on currently. There will be new investments in streetscapes, including in the Argyle, New Chinatown, Vietnamese area, the Devon Avenue area, out in Beverly, and in the Pullman neighborhood. The big question is, who's going to pay for everything? She said that's a real problem that the department faces. But she's hopeful. With a new governor in Springfield, there will be a new start. Need for a new capital bill. There has been none for the last 10 years. And she addressed the need for a rise in the gasoline tax. She said, we need to get revenue solutions done now and done right. She completed her talk by talking about how the transportation landscape is changing dramatically. The battleground going on in the technology economy, electrification, bikes, scooters, state boards, connected vehicles, automation, all can disrupt but at the same time enhance the quality of life and reduce our dependence on vehicle ownership. Finally, Commissioner Scheinfeld said, we need to think how the city must act to protect the public interest when we talk about transportation and its effect on the quality of life in the city of Chicago.
So, three things about Mayor Emanuel. Number one, anytime we ever ask him to do anything, part of our civic and charitable commitment at the City Club for the city, he does it. Misericordia, no, maybe, no this, yes, get me the date. Number two, same for Special Olympics. And number three, always remember this, he always tells you the truth. Mayor Rahm Emanuel, Your Honor, you're on. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. When you sit down, I'll start telling you the truth. Lighten up, guys. Now, let me say this. I can say this now that Rebecca's sitting down and everything. Not only are her parents here, but her in-laws are here. So everybody try to be really on nice behavior on the questions, okay? There's a Yiddish word called nachas, which means, and it's not nachos for the rest of you that don't know Yiddish, okay? What it means is that your child has done something to give you pride and joy. And I said when I appointed Rebecca as head of CDOT, I said to her father, now that's what nachas is. And so he's getting a certain joy today to see his daughter up here. And I expect that as what other parents would have. That doesn't mean, Rebecca, you don't have to call your parents every day to just check in on them, as I do. You know, this morning, Rebecca and I cut the ribbon, and David Reifman, over at Fulton Market. And Fulton Market is a story and a example and an illustration of what transportation, if you make the right strategic investments, can do. In 2012, we opened up the Morgan Street station at Fulton Market. Cut the ribbon, it was a CDOT project, Department of Transportation. 2015, we opened up on the west side of the city the first bike garage with a shower and system for 300 bikes so people can bike to work and then get changed and prepared for work. Also in 2015, we did the gateway into Fulton Market. This morning, we cut the ribbon on the new streetscape in Fulton Market, bringing up the WPA World War II WPA projects of the cobblestones, larger sidewalks. In the summer, on Saturdays, Fulton Market will be closed to auto traffic for the Fulton Market open street area as the festival goes on. Since 2012, since the first L station and also the new L station, which was closed in World War II, but we remodernized and opened it up, 20,000 new technology jobs in that area. And that could not have happened if it wasn't for the L station. I firmly believe that if you want a 21st century economy, you need a 21st century transportation system. Now look, your graduation rate for your city, essential. The safety of your city and what we ask of our police department, as we saw yesterday, key. Your graduation rate into your community colleges and your modernization of the community college system so everybody has a chance at this great economy and to participate, key. Do I think CDOT's going to go with those other issues? It won't get the recognition, but it's significant. Riverwalk brought both the city a certain sense of both national and international recognition. CDOT, Rebecca Scheinfeld. 606, the former Bloomingdale Trail connecting both Bucktown, Logan Square, Wicker Park, and Humboldt Park. CDOT, Rebecca Scheinfeld. The 312 River Run near Lane Tech High School. Massive expansion, the first ever bridge being built from the east and west bank for 3 miles of three parks, one bridge, 2 miles long. New baseball fields, rowing, bike, baseball, soccer, football, tennis, ice skating. CDOT, Rebecca Scheinfeld. Divvy, largest bike sharing program in the United States. CDOT, Rebecca Scheinfeld. The first and only suspension bridge in the state of Illinois at 35th Street, also to be done with the 41st Bridge and the 43rd Street Bridge. CDOT, Rebecca Scheinfeld. And prior to that, the people in Bronzeville, the Quad community in Kenwood, had no access to the lakefront, were cut off. LED, smart grid, streetlights, the largest in the United States. CDOT, Rebecca Scheinfeld. The Navy Pier flyover. CDOT, Rebecca Scheinfeld. The Chicago's Mobility Task Force to coordinate and bring to fruition an integrated vision for the future on transportation and its options. CDOT, Rebecca Scheinfeld. This season, we're about 10 miles, and I was just pushing Rebecca. I know you find that shocking and hard to believe. Out of character for me. But we're getting close to, we're at 300 miles of paved road. And when we finish that 300 miles, we have 10 more to go. Nearly half the city's streets will be, have been paved in the last 8 years. CDOT, Rebecca Scheinfeld. As I said, there's a lot of energy, appropriately, at what's the CPS's graduation rate? What's its math and reading scores? Totally appropriate. What's the employment in the city of Chicago? Where's the economy going? What new tech companies are moving their headquarters? All true, all valuable. But when you go down the list and you think about the way we live our lives, and you think about things that have actually become examples of what the city of Chicago is to build an inclusive 21st century economy, that are things that are singular about the city and that now bring it national, international recognition. From the Riverwalk to 606 to the Fulton Market to the 312 River Run to the LED light smart grid system to literally a city having half its streets paved. All of that's being organized and directed and modernized by Rebecca Scheinfeld and her team. Now, I don't think you'll be hearing a lot of debates about it. Nobody's going to know breaking news. We're here to report to you that CDOT's really got a vision for the future. I wish they would, but they're not going to. But this is important work for a city that's on the move. You can't have a 21st century economy if you don't have a 21st century foundation. There's more that has actually been organized, and Rebecca will run through with you. But by putting an emphasis with a real comprehensive vision of what transportation should be like, how does it actually reflect the values and interests of a city, meaning inclusive? I'm excited, more excited than probably is healthy for my mental health, about what we did today at Fulton Market, what we're building just at the end of that with Perkins and Will at Lake and Damon on that L station. But when I say inclusive, are the bridges at 35th, 41st, and 43rd beautiful? They are architectural gems. Do they also make sure that the people and the residents of Bronzeville, Lake, the Quads, and Kenwood have access to the lakefront rather than just railroad tracks? Yes. And so do we have four different neighborhoods, Wicker Park and Humble Park and Logan Square and Bucktown, all separated but taking old railroad tracks, combine them with parks, and now they have one integrated park system connecting four different distinct neighborhoods? And when you think about what you want to see for a city, and then you think about what those values are, and then how do you make investments in either transportation, parks, or Riverwalk, and can those investments bring forth the actual values and the interests of a city that's trying to build a 21st century that's inclusive? That's how you have to have a commissioner who has a vision, a background in city planning, and the commitment and the leadership to actually transform a department from just paving roads into one that actually reflects the values and instills those values in the investments we make. So I can't be prouder, not as proud as you are, Dad, but proud of Rebecca Scheinfeld and her leadership at CDOT.
Good afternoon. Thank you all for being here. Thank you to the mayor for such a wonderful, heartfelt introduction and personal. It's really been an honor to work for him since he took office. First, starting my work at the CTA in 2011, and then at CDOT for the past 5 years now. It's wonderful to look out into the room and to see so many friendly faces from not just my time at the city, but way back there. Shout out to Mayor Brown and others in the room. I see Peter Owsley, Eastlake Management. We go back. It's just wonderful. Chicago is such an amazing city, but it is also small enough that you encounter people and you continue to cross paths along your career, and it's wonderful to have an opportunity to bring so many people together in a room today. So thank you again. As you heard from the mayor himself. He has been such a champion for transportation investments, pushing all of us to deliver real, lasting improvements for Chicagoans. And so that's just been a tremendous opportunity to be a part of that. It's also an honor to work for the women and men at CDOT who are out there getting the job done every day. And I want to recognize my staff who are able to attend today, as well as other city staff who are also able to take time out of their busy days. I'd ask you to stand, please, and be recognized. So Jay and Ed, thank you for having me back at City Club. I realize this is my fifth time speaking before you, and in preparing for this speech, I thought a lot about the totality of transportation investments under the mayor's tenure, what recent progress to highlight for everyone, what may have been said before, and what still needs to be said again. So I offer you these thoughts in three parts, and for NPR fans, it's a little inside joke. So Act One. Everything is amazing. In the past 5 years, I've had a front row seat and helped chart the city's course during a time of incredible transformation. We all know transportation is the lifeblood of Chicago. It's why the city was founded here in 1837, and it's why the city has thrived and become the transportation hub of the country. This didn't happen by luck. It happens because of a sustained commitment to transportation as the backbone of our economic growth. As the mayor says, infrastructure isn't just about moving everyone around the city. It's about moving our city forward, connecting the people of our city to each other and to opportunity, and giving everyone a chance to be part of building a new Chicago. This work starts with the basics. Upon arriving at CDOT in 2014, I was welcomed by one of the worst winters in memory, the polar vortex. Record low temperatures intermixed with a lot of precipitation. And I have to say, I have a little PTSD, and there's some flashbacks happening the last 2 days here with such an early snowfall. So we're hoping that does not bode the same for the rest of the winter. And I'm sure, as many of you remember, when we had weather like that, it wreaks havoc on our roads. So my first few months on this job were consumed by pothole patching. Not that I, myself, was out patching potholes. Rather, the whole team was addressing the challenge as our number one priority, and we marshaled all of our resources to respond to the situation. And I'll give a shout out to Pat Harney, who is here and was right there by my side during that time. There you are, Pat. The mayor was determined to attack the problem, and not just by patching the potholes, but by actually stepping up our efforts at resurfacing to ensure we have a permanent solution for the long haul, knowing that our streets are undergoing such wear and tear. Because of his insistence, we have worked to reallocate resources and better coordinate work in the public right-of-way. Between the city's work, that of public and private utilities, and other developments, as the mayor noted in his opening, we have resurfaced more than 2,000 miles of streets and alleys in just the past 8 years under the mayor's leadership as part of the Building a New Chicago program. This is an amazing feat. It's almost half the streets in our city, making a major positive difference to people's quality of life, whether they're driving or biking to work, to school, or for their daily errands. And furthermore, in order to ensure that those resources are being used as efficiently as possible, we've been coordinating all the work in the public way through CDOT's Project Coordination Office. This is done in order to reduce the amount of conflicts that would require opening up a street more than once, cutting into recently repaved streets. So these coordination efforts have resulted in better sequencing of projects, and we've estimated that we'd save the city approximately $140 million since 2012. Another citywide investment that the mayor mentioned is opening that's critical to quality of life has been modernizing our streetlights. As you know, if you live in Chicago, we have very old lighting infrastructure dating back, in some cases, 50 years, and much of it has suffered from decades of deferred capital investment. Recognizing the importance to everyday life and safety to have high-quality, reliable lighting, the mayor challenged us to find a way to upgrade our street lighting within our available capital program. In partnership with the Chicago Infrastructure Trust and the Department of Innovation and Technology, CDOT has undertaken the Chicago Smart Lighting Program, one of the largest lighting modernization programs in the country. And I want to recognize Leslie Darling, the Executive Director of the Chicago Infrastructure Trust, who's here with us today and has been an amazing partner in this effort. Thank you, Leslie. In the first year of this program, we've already retrofitted more than 80,000 streetlights with new LED fixtures, which provide clearer, more reliable, and energy-efficient lighting. Over just 4 years, we will retrofit 270,000 fixtures in total. That's 85% of the city's streetlights, touching every Chicago neighborhood. The program also includes a state-of-the-art lighting management system, which will allow us to remotely control and monitor these light fixtures. So the system will alert us when lights are out and need service, and we'll no longer need to rely on the public reporting through the 311 system that a light needs repair. ComEd has also been an important partner in this effort, which is projected to reduce the city's street lighting electricity costs by $10 million a year. So that's saving taxpayers $100 million during the first 10 years alone of this program. And at the same time that we have been providing all of these fundamental services on a day-to-day basis, the mayor has maintained a bold agenda to deliver transformative projects, the game changers that set the stage for Chicago to build on our status as a world-class city. The mayor has been committed to improving both CTA bus service and CTA rail service, understanding that transit is the key to our economy. With his support, CDOT and CTA together have made bold investments to support CTA bus service, such as the Jeffrey Jump, the Union Station Transit Center, and the Loop Link. As you all know, the Loop Link was a project through which we created dedicated CTA bus lanes through the heart of the loop with elevated, weather-protected platforms for bus boarding. We separated bicycle traffic into protected bike lanes, improved crossings for pedestrians, and added dedicated turn arrows for motorists. This investment has resulted in faster and more reliable CTA bus service in the loop, and those bus lines are actually growing in ridership at a time when other routes have seen declining ridership. Folks can quibble about whether we've achieved the exact targets planned for the project, but I say what's most important to focus on is that the loop link shows us what is possible, that we can redesign our streets to advantage and prioritize transit options while also organizing traffic to better serve all users of the roadway. We are not widening roads, guys. We are rethinking them to leverage precious space, especially in the Central Business District, to ensure that we are moving the most people, not just the most cars. In a time when bus ridership is declining, it is critical that we continue to make investments to reaffirm the value of our bus service, giving more people reliable, affordable transportation options that reduce our dependence on cars, thereby reducing congestion and emissions and improving our environment. Recognizing this value, the mayor has allocated funding in next year's 2019 budget to improve bus speeds and reliability as part of a new transit-oriented development policy around high ridership bus lines, starting on two of the city's most popular routes, the 79 on 79th Street and the 66 on Chicago Avenue. Together with the CTA, CDOT will be making targeted investments to speed buses through these congested intersections on the corridors to ensure that these routes have the capacity and quality of service to serve growing ridership. And we have not let up on our investments to the rail system. In addition to all the incredible work that the CTA has been doing in investing in its system, CDOT has been focused on building high-quality, architecturally significant stations to serve CTA and its riders in and around the Central Business District. Since I last addressed City Club, we've been so proud to open the gleaming new Washington Wabash Elevated Station, which replaced two 100-year-old elevated stations, and it provides the first fully ADA-accessible elevated station on the east side of the loop, a gateway to Michigan Avenue and Millennium Park. And we are now starting work for the redesign and reconstruction of the State and Lake Station on the north side of the loop, which is equally as important. I'm also very pleased to share, as the mayor noted, that we are under construction for a new infill station for the CTA on the Green Line at Damon and Lake. long fought for by the community, this station will provide important access to transit for residential, industrial, and institutional users in the area. Just like the great economic infusion that has been created by other infill stations that we've built, as the mayor highlighted, at Morgan on the Green Line, and also what we've seen at Cermak and McCormick Place on the Green Line, we expect that this station at Damon will also catalyze more private investment. We are seeing the same successes in transportation investments for people walking and people riding bikes, all part of our efforts to give people good options for safe, accessible, and active transportation. The mayor mentioned the Riverwalk, as you know, the acclaimed addition to our riverfront, which opened up new recreational frontiers as well as new economic frontiers. And we are now studying how to extend the new sections of the Riverwalk further south, down the South Branch, all the way from Lake Street to Pingtown Park. Also, as the mayor highlighted, we've made major investments with new bridges on the south side to better connect Bronzeville to the lakefront. Here you see images of the beautiful new suspension bridge at 35th Street. And we are nearing completion of the new crossing at 41st Street, which will be finished next month. And here are some renderings and in-progress photos. And soon we'll be breaking ground for a new bridge at 43rd Street. As you can see, these are all beautiful, iconic additions to the communities along the South Lakefront that also provide a very practical connection to the Lakefront Trail for access both to recreation as well as to commuting for job access. The 312 River Run. On the north side, we're working in partnership with the Chicago Park District to create the 312 River Run. As the mayor mentioned, 312, besides being a great area code, stands for three parks served by one trail that's almost 2 miles long. This will be made possible by the construction of two bridge structures. So we're under construction now with the Riverview Bridge that will go under Addison, connecting pathways in Clark Park on the east side of the river with California Park on the west side of the river to the north. And here you have a view looking south, actually. So California Park would be on your right and Clark Park on your left, and that's the Addison Bridge at the top of the image showing how this new bridge structure will go underneath, creating a grade-separated pathway for bicyclists and pedestrians. And then just to the north of there, we broke ground just last week on the reconstruction of the Irving Park Road Bridge. And as part of this project, we're constructing a new underbridge on the west side of the river in order to seamlessly connect people that are walking and biking in California Park with Horner Park to the north, so that, again, there's another grade-separated pathway, so that there's a seamless connection all the way from Horner Park, California Park, down to Clark Park. That's 2 miles of recreational trail through those three parks and all of their fabulous amenities. And back downtown, construction of the Navy Pier flyover continues, has never stopped. This is like my favorite child. We will reach a major milestone by the end of this year when we open the first segment that will carry pedestrians over Grand and Illinois Street, and I invite all of you to join us to celebrate that project. Now, in addition to these major infrastructure investments for people walking and biking, we've also continued to work methodically to bring better bicycling infrastructure to the whole city. In the mayor's first term, we added more than 100 miles of protected bike lanes, and we were rewarded with the title of America's Best Bike City by Bicycling Magazine. And since then, we've been focused on upgrading the quality, connectivity, and safety of our bicycling network. So not just going for pure miles, but really looking at the leverage for the whole system. And in the mayor's second term, we pledged to build 50 miles of better bike lanes. And I'm pleased to say that we are on track to meet that goal by having completed 10 miles of new or upgraded protected lanes, 30 miles of buffered bike lanes, 11 miles of low-stress neighborhood greenways on residential streets, all while also restriping nearly 100 miles of existing bikeways all across the city. And this past construction season alone, we've made improvements on the Milwaukee, Elston, and Dearborn protected bike lanes by upgrading those to install concrete curbs to better separate people biking and driving. And when we install bike lanes, we're thinking about designing a street to improve safety for all users. So these projects also include pedestrian safety improvements, and we're even piloting ways to design combination bike and bus lanes. Now, I always use this opportunity to remind everyone that traffic safety remains a major public health issue. Each day in Chicago, 5 people are seriously injured in a traffic crash, and every 3 days, someone is killed in a traffic crash here in our city. That's 2,000 people every year killed or seriously injured on our streets due to traffic crashes. The city of Chicago has declared its commitment to Vision Zero, which is the vision of eliminating deaths and serious injuries from traffic crashes. It's a powerful acknowledgement that traffic crashes are not accidents. They are preventable. And we have the tools at our disposal to affect change through the design of our streets, education and behavior change, and enforcement. As part of a collaborative effort by more than a dozen city departments and sister agencies, last year we launched our Vision Zero Chicago Action Plan. This charts a course for making sustained investments to improve safety for all users of the right-of-way. Using crash data, we've identified 43 high crash corridors and 8 high crash areas in Chicago where a disproportionate rate of crashes occur. The high crash areas are on the west and the south sides, as well as downtown, where you have a higher rate of crashes correlated with higher volumes of vehicles and pedestrians. I encourage all of you to take a look at that report, and you'll see a lot of interesting data analysis, including the fact that if you're a person of color and low income, you are more likely to die or be seriously injured in a traffic crash. This is a very important public health issue, public policy issue, and we're really pleased that so many city departments have been working together closely to affect change. Since launching the action plan last year, we've made significant progress. We are well on our way to completing 300 pedestrian safety improvement projects by the end of next year, and in fact, we'll be exceeding that goal. We've completed or are under construction with corridor-level improvements, not just target improvements, but the length of a corridor, on 16 of the high-crash corridors, and have 7 more corridors for which improvements are in design. That means we are already addressing more than half of the high-crash corridors in the city, so that's wonderful news. We've also been working to build a culture of safety, directly reaching out to more than 115,000 residents at hundreds of outreach and education events in the last year alone in the city. And we've reached tens of thousands more through the city's digital marketing resources, whether those be the information panels downtown or the marketing of the digital billboards on adjacent to the expressway. We've completed a focused outreach effort in the West Side high crash areas, and we'll be issuing a community-based plan tailored to those specific communities, informed by all of our engagement and public input. Next, we will be starting a similar focused effort on the South Side. And this year, a new city ordinance went into effect requiring large vehicles in the city fleet and used by city contractors to utilize side guards and special convex mirrors together to reduce the risk of fatalities of pedestrians and bicyclists if crashes do occur. I encourage all of you to follow our progress and learn more about how you can be part of this effort by going to the website at visionzerochicago.org. Now, safe, pedestrian-friendly streets make for good business, too, and we are making important investments in our neighborhood commercial districts. Just this morning, as the mayor noted, we cut the ribbon for the first phase of the Fulton Market streetscape. It's a full-scale reconstruction of Fulton Market in the West Loop, which has changed from wholesaler markets to a thriving tech, restaurant, and nightlife corridor that's active 24/7. We've redesigned the street to safely accommodate more pedestrian activity while still allowing for a mixture of land uses. I encourage all of you to check it out, especially when the snow clears. It's really an interesting design. This is just the latest in a series of streetscape projects that are improving life and commerce in our neighborhoods, including the Argyle Shared Street, Broadway in Uptown, Devon, Damon on the west side, Blue Island in Pilsen, Cottage Grove in Chatham, Morgan Street in Bridgeport, and coming up, you'll be seeing work on 95th in Beverly and 111th Street in the historic Pullman District. Our transportation investments are also enabling major transformations of parts of the city driven by private investment. On the south side, we are thrilled to be designing a comprehensive set of investments in the park and transportation network in and around Jackson Park to support the Obama Presidential Center. And for those of you mourning the closure of a section of Cornell, remember, I've got my best guys and gals on it, and you should just remember that our plans are going to be reversing a 60s-era vehicle-centric design that created a major gash in the park. These changes will make for a better park, improving connectivity and safety for all while still maintaining vehicular capacity. We can do this. Some people never thought you could redesign Lakeshore Drive around the Field Museum. It's been done, and no one looks back, and it's going to be tremendous. We're also working carefully in partnership with developers for the 78 in the South Loop and Lincoln Yards on the north side to create new TIFs to provide the necessary infrastructure investments to enable the redevelopment of former industrial parcels into new mixed-use communities. Transportation investments and the access and mobility they provide are central to making these projects possible. Whether it's the Wells-Wentworth connector in the South Loop that's reestablishing the street grid, or tackling the spaghetti bowl of an intersection at Armitage, Ashland, and Elston. For each one of these projects to succeed, transportation infrastructure is a key ingredient that can set the stage for these visionary concepts to succeed and become economic engines for the whole city. Now, we come to the second act. Act two. We can't go on like this. What's remarkable is that we have been able to accomplish so much during times of extreme financial stress. Despite the lack of sufficient sustained funding sources for transportation, the mayor has been dogged in his efforts to secure competitive funding and to find other creative ways to provide for such investments. He understood that if Chicago fell behind, we might never be able to catch up. We used the federal TIFIA loan program for the Riverwalk. No one had used TIFIA in this way before, and now in just 2 years since the project was completed, it's been a phenomenal success, and it's paying for itself from the revenues generated on site. When it came to financing the critically important CTA Red Purple Modernization Program, the mayor went to Springfield and, during an extremely challenging political time, created a new transit TIF to provide the local match to leverage scarce federal funds. In other cases, we've partnered with the private sector to solve the funding challenges. The CREATE program for improvements to freight and passenger rail in the region is a great example of such public-private partnership. These efforts have paid off, and this summer, the CREATE partners, led by IDOT, were awarded a $132 million federal grant contributing to a nearly $500 million planned investment in the 75th Street Corridor Improvement Project. This is 25% privately funded by the railroads, and this project would not have been possible without that private participation. At Chicago Union Station, Amtrak is leveraging private funds created by the sale of air rights for renovation of retail spaces in the Great Hall, all as part of the master plan redevelopment of the station that the city has been championing in partnership with our regional transportation partners, especially Amtrak, Metra, and RTA. And we have the proposal by the Boring Company to build a high-speed tunnel connecting the loop to O'Hare Airport, reducing the travel time for an hour or more to 12 minutes each way. This project has massive potential as a game changer, and it will be constructed and operated entirely through private funding sources. But private sources of investment are only appropriate for certain types of infrastructure projects, and even low-interest government financing requires revenues to pay it back. So the current transportation funding situation does not meet all of our needs. It is unsustainable. CMAP's recent On to 2050 long-range plan includes projections that show our current revenue streams for transportation can't keep up with our state of good repair needs for our existing infrastructure, let alone our capacity expansion needs. With the election of a new governor, we have the opportunity for a new start. This state has not had a capital bill identifying additional revenue streams for transportation in nearly 10 years, and we haven't raised our gas tax in nearly 30 years. We are behind other states in making the hard and strategic decisions for how to maintain and expand our transportation infrastructure in order to spur and support continued economic growth. We need a state capital bill with reliable, increased revenue streams to provide Chicago and Northeast Illinois, the whole region, with the resources to adequately fund our transportation needs, including transit, roads, bridges, and local neighborhood infrastructure alike. There's talk of something happening in Washington, too, but I think we all know that we shouldn't hold our breath for that. So there's a real sense of momentum in the air, talk in the halls, the boardroom, on the streets about the potential for a capital bill. And let us not look back on this moment and have squandered the opportunity to bring together a strong coalition of support for such a bill. The mayor has called on the region and the state's leaders to come together to address the issue. He has been specific about a gas tax. let us seize this opportunity to hammer out a long-term transportation funding solution. And I want to stress that it's important that not only that we get this done now, but that we get it done right. We have one shot, and we need to accomplish a lasting solution. And that means that we have to think and make it future compatible in terms of things like indexing funds or other ways that we think about how we are going to be growing and the needs we're going to have in the future. So that brings me to the final act for today, Act 3, another reason we can't go on like this. While we have been working diligently to bring all of these transportation system investments to fruition and solve for funding gaps, the transportation landscape is radically and rapidly changing around us. When I joined CDOT in 2014, the city had launched Divvy just a few months earlier. Divvy was a shiny new object, and its success was far from assured. Oh, sorry. I totally forgot about these slides. That was Jackson Park. So Divvy was launched at the end of mid-2013, and it was in early 2014 when I came in. It was the new exciting thing. Now 5 years later, sometimes it seems kind of quaint, and it's been an amazing success, and people almost take it for granted. Because during the same time, the transportation sector has continued to undergo a head-spinning transformation and has become a new battleground in the tech economy. There are so many combinations and permutations of new technologies and new business practices that are together creating new ideas popping up left and right in the transportation space every day. On the technology side, we see electrification of not just cars, but also micromobility options, bikes, scooters, skateboards, and other things. I don't even know what you call them, but if you stand on Washington Street and you look in the bike lane, you will see all different types of things that people have bought for themselves, and it's just really amazing and fascinating to see what's out there and the creativity. We've also seen the advent of self-locking dockless bikes and scooters, which challenge our notions of order in the right-of-way. And all the major auto manufacturers and other venture-backed firms are investing heavily in connected vehicles, 5G, Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, and automation that will continue to disrupt and enhance transportation radically over the next decade. On the business practice side, we've seen an explosion in the use of app-based ride-sharing companies. In Chicago, we have Uber, Lyft, and Via, and we've got Zipcar car sharing, peer-to-peer car sharing, point-to-point car sharing like Car2Go. All of these new innovations offer opportunities for getting us around the city, and most importantly, they have the tremendous potential to reduce people's dependence on vehicle ownership and use of cars, which increases the use of active transportation options and low-emission transportation options, which improves health, air quality, and safety for everyone. However, we are also faced with the real challenge in incorporating these options into our existing transportation systems, especially thinking about how to maintain safety in the public way, as well as the need to craft new types of business regulations. So how do we create the right incentives and disincentives so that ride-sharing services don't just replace transit trips, which adds to congestion and degrades CTA's efficiency? How do we instead use ride-sharing to leverage the backbone of the CTA system to extend people's access to jobs in the region? Let's incentivize transit, shared rides, and carpooling. How do we design our streets to effectively allocate space to ensure the safety of increasing numbers of people biking and using other micromobility options to get around? How do we determine which services should be monopolies and which should be competitive markets? And how do we ensure that the data collected by regulated private providers, the currency of this new sector, that that data is transparent to the city to ensure not only that providers are accountable to their regulatory requirements, but also to ensure that the city has the best information to effectively manage and regulate our streets, our curbs, and our sidewalks in order to accommodate all of these new demands on the public way? We cannot consider each one of these questions in a one-off manner, reinventing the wheel of policy and decision-making like Groundhog Day each time around when a new device or comes on the market or a new shared mobility business is dreamt up. We need to rethink how the city is governing public and private mobility options to ensure that we adhere to consistent guiding principles to protect the public interest by improving not just our transportation options, but our overall quality of life, safety on our streets, our environment, and do it all in an equitable manner. Pretty easy, huh? Mayor Emanuel understands that we must confront this issue head on. He has challenged our team to bring everyone to the table and chart a new path forward for mobility in the city. This fall, the mayor announced the creation of a new transportation and mobility task force led by former USD Secretary Ray LaHood. The task force is working to identify both immediate actions and ambitious proposals in support of a new vision for mobility. The task force will issue a report that grapples with the challenges of how to ensure that we have a transportation system that is safe, encourages mobility choices that are accessible, equitable, and affordable, supports economic development, is efficient and smart in order to support sustainable, livable communities, is governed by regulations that require sharing of data while still protecting privacy rights, and a system that overall puts the public benefit first. I expect a strong thread in the task force's recommendations will be about the need to expand access to high-quality, reliable public transit while incorporating new mobility options. Approaches such as a value-driven bus network plan, integrated fares and payment technologies for real multimodal trips, and synchronized policies for improving access for low-income, disabled, and senior residents. The task force's recommendations should also guide integration and prioritization of new mobility providers and technologies, including connected and electric vehicles, new ride-sharing options, new forms of bike share and scooters, smart traffic infrastructure, including those that protect pedestrians, such as those and those that make deliveries easier and more seamless, and those that showcase automatic traffic control. And yes, they should lay the groundwork for the eventual deployment of autonomous and automated technologies. And finally, the task force's guidance should also be geared towards improving the city's overall livability and environment through transportation and mobility innovation, such as more electric charging infrastructure, development of metrics to track environmental impacts, development of commuter demand management policies, and the expansion of our transit-oriented development incentives along high-frequency bus corridors. I'm looking forward to the task force's recommendations, which will serve to ensure that we cement Chicago's place as the transportation hub of our nation for the future. So in closing, let us capture the tremendous energy and investment currently unfolding in the transportation sector to achieve the promise of our transportation systems: high quality, safe, accessible, affordable, efficient, sustainable, and innovative options for moving around Chicago, no matter where you are coming from, or where you are going to, or who you are. We need to reinvest and rebuild while we also reinvent our transportation systems, as we always have, but now more than ever. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Commissioner Sheinfeld. And if anyone has any questions, please just hold up your card and we'll bring them along. I've got to remember where I put a few of the questions that I've already received. I have a feeling I left them at my chair. So, excuse me a second. Thank you. Right. Okay. Have you had your budget hearings yet?
Oh, all done.
All done. So you
prep for this.
You've encountered the alderman of the second ward, Brian Hopkins?
Met him before.
Okay. Brian, where are you sitting? Right down here. He knows where to go, right next to Rebecca's parents. Tremendous. This is his question. Video enforcement of traffic laws will make our roads safer. How can we remove the stigma in Chicago that prevents expanded video enforcement? Oh, yeah, fastball right down the middle.
The automated enforcement, as many people know, a hot button, another thing that greeted me in my first year, 2014. I'm proud to say that we have really reformed the city's red light camera program, and I think that people are starting to have more trust in it. And we've also had tremendous response to our automated speed enforcement program. And in fact, in this past year, based on aldermanic requests, we install cameras at more sites around the city. And that was based on feedback from constituents and their aldermen. So I think we are turning the tide there. We engaged Northwestern University to do a comprehensive statistical study and policy study for our red light camera program, and we've been following the recommendations issued in that report. I'll take the opportunity to say I think automated enforcement is obviously the efficient way to go. If we're thinking about a smart city, where do we want our cops to be? We don't want them sitting there enforcing, you know, blocking the box. Could we have a future where we have automated enforcement of major congestion issues like that, or enforcement of bus lanes to ensure the effective movement of transit in the city? That would be a very powerful tool, and we need Springfield to continue to expand our authority to do that.
Okay. Thank you. Of course, I'm a resident of Alderman Hopkins' ward, so I'm not sure how that would affect my driving. Thanks, Brian. This is from City Club member Ashman Ladd. Is there anything your office can do to persuade aldermen to put up more yield-to-pedestrian signs in the crosswalks in their wards?
A question for Alderman Hopkins, right?
Yeah, or Alderman Moore's here.
So,
Alderman Viejas.
And thank you for being here. The Stop for Pedestrian side, the in-road pedestrian crossing signs, have been a great success. The fact is they get run over, and that's just evidence of the problem that we're all fighting against. So as I mentioned, with our traffic safety issue efforts and the Vision Zero Chicago program, we are looking at all sorts of ways to impact behavior and change the design of our roadways. So those are appropriate in some cases, and we do have the support and rely on the support of aldermen to install those and replace those. But we also have been trying to come up with more permanent solutions, especially in cases where they're really not sustainable. So things like pedestrian refuge islands that provide safe waiting areas for pedestrians when they're crossing a four-lane arterial, or other tailored solutions to try to calm traffic and improve safety for pedestrians. This is part of a toolbox of efforts that we have.
Okay, thank you. This is from Dave Lundy, City Club member over here with Aileron. His question, Rebecca, is, has the city measured the negative environmental impacts from the quote-unquote road diets across the city? Before they began, city studies projected increased idling times, emissions, and congestion.
So our road diet projects are designed very carefully. And when we're considering a road diet, the primary goal is to try to reduce cars and movement within the public way to safe speeds. Speeding is one of the top five reasons people are dying in traffic crashes in the city. And so when we do a road diet, we study it carefully to see if it's appropriate. We're looking at the capacity of the roadway, the actual average daily traffic, to see how many lanes we need to safely accommodate that. So we do before and after studies, and I'm pleased to say that after we do these types of projects, we're seeing real improvements in safety. It's more pedestrian-friendly. We actually often, with streetscape projects, see more pedestrian activity contributing to local businesses and economic development. So it's really a holistic thing, and it's carefully done, and I'd be pleased to share more information with you about some of those specific locations.
Okay, thank you very much. Little different kind of question here, Rebecca. This was submitted by an anonymous consultant who's a member of the City Club but writes beautifully, and the question came from somewhere in the back of the room on my right-hand side. Here's the question. You are one of a group of amazing women leaders in Chicago and Illinois transportation. What's different and or important about having women in leadership positions in transportation?
I would say it's not unique to transportation. When you see more diverse leadership, whether it be by gender, color, creed, any kind of background, ethnic origin, it leads for better outcomes and stronger teams. In transportation in particular, many of the positions are filled more traditional engineering pipelines, and that's one of the STEM areas where we've seen fewer women enter those fields. So I think the transportation sector is ripe for continued advancement of women. I've been proud to be a strong member and on the advisory board for a local chapter of WTS. I've been pleased to have so many fantastic women at CDOT working with me in this tenure, but I'll say I continue to often be around the room one of the only or few women, and we need to continue to change that tide. I'm very proud that the mayor's cabinet is, I want to say, if not more than half women, and that's been an incredible cohort to be a part of.
Hey, thank you. Bus lanes in our city streets like the LoopNet, one of their selling points was that they would reduce congestion, speed up bus service and that. What is your read on these bus lanes? What effect have they had?
So I wish that we had more, and in my speech I covered that. I think we also have to take the long view. What we're doing is we're prioritizing space for high-capacity movement. We're trying to move more people through our streets, not just more cars that have one person in them. I have no qualm with saying that bus should have more priority and advantage than that one person who's driving in their car by themselves. And so allocating more of our available public way to buses and other high-capacity uses is and will continue to be a priority. So something like the Loop Link, we're increasing ridership on those lines. I say the long view because we're giving people choices and we want people to continue to choose the most efficient option. So continue to choose and the bus and other ways to get around, whether it be walking or biking in combination with other mobility options. So I'd like to see more bus lanes in the city. I think that's part of what I highlighted as well, where we're looking at high CTA ridership corridors in combination with TOD incentives to be making the investments on those corridors to speed and make more reliable the bus service that exists today, as well as handle increased density on those corridors so that people are moving onto, let's say, Chicago Avenue, and they're not planning to drive their car ever, hopefully. They're realizing they have that high-capacity bus that's coming frequently and reliably, and they can take it to that train connection or to that other mobility option, and they don't have to rely on driving their own car every day. So I'm excited for the future of buses in the city.
You mentioned, I think, in your presentation that phase one of the flyover project would be finished by the end of this year, end of December, and you invited everybody here to come down for the unveiling, the breaking of the ribbon, the riding the bike across, the stopping of the pile driving, whatever is involved. What date should we circle on our calendar to be there?
It's before Christmas, and we'll be putting out notice. So I thanks everyone for your patience. This is one of the most complex jobs, and it's not just an engineering challenge, which it is, and it's not just a construction challenge, which it is. It's also a funding challenge. It's a coordination challenge. The state has come through with a lot of important funding to address the needs there, and so this has been, like they say, it takes a village to raise a child. I wasn't kidding when I made that analogy before to a child. It takes a village, and it's continue to take a lot of creative problem solving by all members of my team. So we're almost there, and we're looking forward to making this first section open for everyone next month.
Great, thank you. One final question. This is from Mark Lovelace, who's with the Cook County Commission on Social Innovation. He says, you talked about increasing the usage of public transit and that. Do you ever see a time or a possibility when there will be free public transportation for City of Chicago residents as a way of bringing more people into public transit and decreasing private vehicle congestion, et cetera?
I think that's great. I think it's a wonderful question to end on, as a wonderful vision for what this city could be. Going back to my points about funding, there's no way in our current fiscal climate and the revenue streams available to the CTA and the obligations that they have already to provide, unfunded obligations, but to provide subsidized fares, there's no way that could happen with our current revenue context. But that should be everyone's priority. What a fantastic community to be a part of. What a thriving city we could have if everyone has a free option to use public transportation and that it continue to be a choice option for transportation for people of all backgrounds, income levels, no matter where they live in the city. That's a wonderful vision for the city that I certainly hope becomes a reality.
Let's give Commissioner Rebecca Scheinfeld a big round of applause.